All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
11:53 p.m., November 29th, 2013, from Coombsy, Cam Lewis. Fuck, goddamn, I swear that 14-year-old kid in the OHL, David McDavid or whatever, is ready better than all of the other Oilers. FFFS. Let's get into it with the lead. There you go, Cam Lewis. That man knew a couple of things before the rest of us did. Who would have thought Connor McDavid, hey? The guy who was really good when he was born, basically, would become an NHL superstar, Dan. Welcome into Oilers Nation every day in the Sports Closet Studio. Three locations across the city, St. Albert Mall, Sherwood Park Mall, and Kingsway Mall. Nation Danny's in the house, and so is Lord Stanley.
Thank you for having me on. It is my knockoff Stanley mug. I had that before the Stanley Cup craze started, actually.
Do you know what was crazy about those Stanley Cups? Is that when you Googled Stanley Cup, that's what came up.
Yeah.
Now, well, is that a credit to the promotion work from the company Stanley? Or how piss poor the NHL marketing is?
I was just going to say, I think that might be a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B.
A little from column A.
SEO there on the Stanley Cup, not so great. Search engine optimization for those of us that aren't in the business, not so great on the Stanley Cup and its images. Fun fact, though, you can't replicate the Stanley Cup. There's a bunch of rules and legalities around that.
Which one?
The actual Stanley Cup. Yeah, crazy enough, you can replicate the other Stanley Cup. But yeah, the Oilers got in trouble for that. Or no, they found a loophole for that for their Hall of Fame room.
Oh, really?
Yeah, found that out. Because they have, if you've walked by Rogers Place.
I assume those weren't the five.
Yes.
But I didn't know. I assume, so in English, European soccer, if you win the Champions League five times, you're allowed to keep a trophy. And they
just
make
one of them.
One. Yeah. I think.
Is it the fifth one you win, or is it like, they go back?
It's like from everyone onwards.
Got it.
I think. I don't know. That could be
they don't get to keep a replica?
Yeah, they like build a replica, then the fifth one is like a real thing.
But so, anyway, so here in the NHL, I don't know if it's a new rule or not, but you're not allowed to make a full scale replica of the Stanley Cup. That the only ones that exist or that are supposed to exist are the actual Stanley Cup, and then it's partner or it's. It's travel companion cup. But so what the Oilers did is they created a full-size replica of the cups, cut them in half, and then put a mirror behind it. So they're actually half scale.
That replicas. Is very clever, actually, from the Edmonton Oilers. Who would have thought?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? let's get into what you guys are saying in the Charm Diamond Centers YouTube chat. Charm Diamond Centers is proudly Canadian-owned and operated since 1972, older than all of us in this room, which is why you should trust them. With more than 85 locations across Canada through Charm Diamond and their sister brands, check out their large selection of Canadian lab-grown diamonds, mine diamonds, and don't pay until 2025 with that instant in-store financing OAC. For more information, go to charmdiamondcenters.com.
I apologize. Is the propose, does that refer to Tyler's proposal in itself? Is that what they called it?
Well, that is what we joked about it being, but their commercial was kind of different ways to propose.
To propose. So okay. The guy from Letterkenny. Yeah.
So they brought it in from like a sports reference.
Okay, so Tyler's was one of the proposes.
Yeah,
one
of the many they have across their 85 locations across the country through Charm and their sister brands. Or you can go and visit charmdiamondcenters.com for
two
their large selection of Canadian lab-grown diamonds and mined. And hey, you know, it's paid till 2025. What are you guys saying over in the YouTube chat? Fighting Amish. Bloody brilliant opening, Liam.
Bloody brilliant. That's one way to get you super excited. Is to include a little bloody in the mix.
The Canada, no swear in English, Tyler.
I laughed fair pretty enough. Hard at that one.
What's this one? FIFA Las Vegas. So that's a good name. Best tweet of all time. It is a fantastic one. From 2013, Andrew Bennett. What an open, Liam. Thank you very much. I kid you not, I sat down in this chair at 11:58.
It is true.
Also, last night, everyone thought I was smoking the ganja.
Why is that? The
devil's lettuce. I was exhausted.
I tuned in because I had just gone home. I had a great time in the game. We'll get into that in a minute. But I tuned in and I was like, man, what is going on right here? This I could tell Tyler had been working for
7 shows yesterday.
Like, seriously, so many shows. You just lose your brain at that point. And I was giggling so hard. And everybody's like, Liam's high. I was like, no, wait, he's not.
Hold on. Is there something wrong with getting high?
No. People were just saying I look
Saturday
high.
Saturday is our national holiday day.
Yes.
National holiday. Aaron, if you have a moment, maybe you could find a screenshot and you could see why people thought I looked. I can see why.
Oh,
like, it's not an underestimation.
So a little, I mean, like, this is an accusation we get accused of quite often in this business.
Being high?
Yes, because we work insane hours and sometimes we are high. And so, like it's just, I think it's just realistic that sometimes it is the case. Not illegal in this country. Mm-hmm. Great, but I will vouch for you. You are not a person.
Not a weeder.
yes, that is the term we use commonly around the weed dens is weeders.
As your pal Joe said, sorry, Werther, not Weeder. So,
okay, Liam, we'll also explain this for a minute. You are such an old soul at points. You don't like loud noises or bars.
Yes.
You carry around rock hard caramel Werthers with you as well?
Yeah, at my desk, I just have like an unlimited amount of Werthers. I just love them. If you actually go back and watch that show and like, I put one in right before I started the show and I started like obviously sucking on it and having it.
Oh.
And I was like, this is an absolute mouthful. And
that's ASMR right
there. Yeah. So if you go back and watch now that you have the context to it, maybe you'll see some more of this. But there
I'm
you go.
Have to go check it out.
Because I'm looking at it right here. I see why they thought that.
Yeah, I didn't look my best. I don't think my lighting's great, to be fair. Okay, I guess we can move along with the show. The Edmonton Oilers were 9-2 last night against the San Jose Sharks. They basically played 40 minutes of hockey because the third period was just skating around. The refs basically just put away the whistles for the entire game too fast. And I think that was the right thing for them to do. Like, let's just get things moving here. They were missing, like, they were waving off some, like, icing calls and stuff. And I don't know if the Oilers laid an actual hit in the third period. Like, that wasn't out of, like, okay, this guy's coming, I kind of have to make it. But before we get into the Service Credit Union scoring summary, Dan, what did you think of the overall performance from the Oilers? I mean, from the get-go to basically the end, anyway.
Well, the third period had everything you want out of an all-star game, minus the goals. Just 10 guys skating around the ice, going through the motions. Felt really bad for the fans in attendance for that third period. I mean, whatever, you got to see 9 goals ahead of that, so it's fine. But yeah, it felt like the team was on it and in one and really going after it until Connor got that 100th assist, and then it was just exhale and everything was fine.
Yeah, it was. I think they did the right thing though, too. Like respectful to San Jose. Like, I'm sure if that was like a November game, they might have just kept going. And hey, I don't think there's no limit to how many goals you should score in an NHL game. You can run up the score as much as you want. But I do think there's a limit of like, we don't need to bury these guys through the boards and stuff like that. Like, you can play a competitive level, but there needs to be that respect factor too. And like I was saying, like, if this game was November and Neil, and it was a bit more meaningful, I guess you could say, for the Oilers a little bit, like, rather than 3 games left in the season, like, it's not that good. And also, one thing Tyler and I explored last night, so I believe San Jose, if they project the way they're going to in their 1 or 2 final games, however many they got, they would be the 3rd worst record since 2007. The Oilers were not bottom 20 in that category.
For as bad as we were?
Yeah, for like that decade. Tyler showed me this stat last night, if I'm remembering correctly. Their record was like 21st worst since 2009 onwards, which I thought was very surprising considering how bad we were.
But yeah,
I never felt like we were that. We were never as bad as what San Jose are right now.
Well,
is that fair?
I don't think that Edmontonians would have accepted that. I don't think we could have been able, like, if, like, the quote that came out of Devin Cooley last week talking, like,
so weird,
sounding like Ilya Bryzgalov on the dark side, talking about, you know, how we're all going to die. And that was after he had like 41 saves
in a one goal game win.
So, I mean, I think to your point, Liam, you know, like, they did the professional thing, the right thing. They didn't come out and just absolutely dunk on these San Jose Sharks. But I think that that's the 2024 mentality. I don't like it myself. I really do believe that your bottom 6, those are the games when they should be able to go out and just have Warren Fogle sniping pucks with reckless abandon, because that's when they're going to get those points. And that's when we shut the narrative down of the bottom 6 can't score points, because they come out and they dump it on a San Jose Sharks team. So I get it from both sides of the coin there, but I would like to see the Connor Brown come out and get a hat trick, and Fogle get that hat trick. Why not?
9 shots for Warren Fogle yesterday.
Yeah, you love to see it.
And he hit the post on one, so we'll give him the 10. If you bet his shot prop, that went pretty well. Just looking through here, I wanted to make sure I had the... I got it wrong. The minutes were pretty spread out. Connor Brown played the lowest out of the forward group, 13-16. The highest was Fogle, who played 15-57. So there you go. They definitely, like, the third period, did we see McDavid for more than one shift? I think he played one shift in the third period.
He spent more time on the bench and was just being a happy observer for most of it, which, again, that's fine. I'm fine with that as an organization. But then the bottom 6 doesn't have to take their foot off the accelerator.
Yeah,
keep going.
Well, let's get into the Service Credit Union scoring summary, because we're probably going to need the next 49 minutes to get through.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, there's only 1 month left in the Service Big Share contest. Don't miss a chance to win $1 million. Pass you by. Anyone can enter by becoming a member at Service. Every $500 saves gives you 5 entries into the Service Big Share contest. Contest ends April 30th, so you have less than a month now. Sorry. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. Connor McDavid got the scoring started 53 seconds into the game. I believe it was actually 13 seconds into his shift with his first game back after missing a couple. And I think he was trying to get Hyman there, but it deflects it on its own. And Connor McDavid gets his 32nd goal of the season, halfway to his total last year with 2 games left. But hey, we have a big moment, obviously, to talk about later on with McDavid, but just a nice way to kind of set the tone in this one, right, Dan?
You don't have to be that good when you're that lucky. That was that was awesome to see. And yeah, I mean, I think everybody on the ice was a little bit shocked that it happened that fast. Even, you know, for a guy that just came back from missing 2 games to just be uncorked and unleashed on the San Jose Sharks, and they just weren't ready for it.
No, they certainly were not ready for it. Shortly after the 4-minute mark, Adam Henrique gets his 24th goal of the season, coming from a Brett Kulak shot from the point. Henrique wins a draw, swings it back, rebound off Cooley, then decides to bury the puck and Cooley into the net. What have you thought of Henrique during his like brief stint here with the Oilers? What's it been now? About 6 weeks, I think. Maybe a little bit less, 5 weeks.
He's a guy that just quietly plays a good game. And there's nothing to hate about his game. And there's a lot to like about it from a standpoint of, you know, you come into these moments, and now is when it's starting to, is when you want to see them clicking. Guys that come in at the trade deadline, you need to see them clicking right before things are getting underway. Give the guys a break for a couple of weeks when they come onto the team and get those things clicking. We see it now. We could have something special here.
Yeah, we really could. Just to get to Newfie Sniper 1990, we need Van to lose out and us to win it, to win the division, right? That is correct. It's probably a long shot. Vancouver has two more games left. We have two more as well. See what happens, but it seems a bit of a reach after Saturday's loss to Vancouver. Do you care about that?
I absolutely do. And I wanted to see us win the division. To me, it's annoying to now have been at the cusp of winning it 2 years in a row
and falling short.
Falling short right at the last second. You know, you look back now in that matchup against San Jose, and you go back to the losing streak, and it's just those details here and there. And I mean, frick, win one game against Vancouver and we're not talking like this. Yeah. So it's well-deserved win by the Vancouver Canucks to win the Pacific Division. Give them all the credit in the world. But yeah, I definitely wanted Edmonton to win that.
I'm 100% with you. I think one thing too, like, maybe we have to respect Vancouver a little bit more.
Absolutely.
They beat us four times this season. We can go back, and I think the first two were a bit of a mirage of what the Oilers were. You know, they weren't very good at the time, but the Oilers got better as the season went on, and Vancouver just came into our building. McDavid or not, they didn't have Demko.
Yep.
And they still won. I saw a couple of people, and I would agree with this point too, people saying how the difference between what Demko could have done that night against Edmonton to what Casey DeSmith did that night against Edmonton probably wasn't too big of a gap, because DeSmith played very well and the Oilers only scored one goal. But you put McDavid in the lineup, it makes a big difference. Does that make sense?
Yep. I would agree with that. I would just say that the Oilers too often tend to make the Casey DeSmiths look like Thatcher Demkos more than Casey DeSmith looks like a Thatcher Demko. And that's frustrating to me. I don't know the answer to that. I wish I did. I'd probably be a head coach in the league right now if I did. More often than not, the Edmonton Oilers find themselves goalied by a goalie that days before that, even like in the case of Casey DeSmith, absolutely lose the game for their team, and then they come out and stonewall.
Yeah, he had lost four in a row.
Yep.
The last two, he allowed six goals in each.
And then comes out and goalies us. So, you can say that that's skill for DeSmith, but the Oilers are doing something there too.
One person they didn't make look like a superstar last night was Devin Cooley, as the Oilers continued to pile on the goals in the first period. Warren Fogel with his 18th of the year assist coming from Leon Draisaitl, who made a great play in his zone there to get the puck back, and then Fogel kind of comes through, does the rest, snipes one right through the five hole of Cooley for his 18th. Really good finish by Fogel, but to round out the first period of scoring, Dylan Holloway, second goal in four games since getting called up from Bakersfield, gets his fifth goal of the season. Henrique and Darnell Nurse getting the assist on this one. Obviously, like, the big talking point around Dylan Holloway is, does he play in the lineup during the playoffs? And he's really making it difficult to take him out of the lineup, which I think is what you wanted the most out of him, right? Like, and Patrick brings it up here too. Holloway needs to stay, and I think he'll stay. I just don't know if he'll play, but what do you think about that? Like, do you think he needs to be in the lineup? I was saying this to Tyler in After Dark last night. I think his audition's over. Not in like a good or a bad way, but there's two games left. What much more does he need to show? I feel like the decision, maybe if he comes and scores a couple more goals and leads away, as guys probably get rested these next few games, but like, you know what he is and you know what Yanmark is.
Well, you get a guy in Holloway who's hitting the ground running, coming out of the AHL, scoring a hat trick just before his call up, and hasn't seemed to lose that scoring touch. I like to see it. Yeah. I would like to see this team, and selfishly, I loved the 06 team's versatility against other teams in the playoffs. That you saw a different Edmonton Oilers team show up in multiple nights against Detroit that year. I would like to see that from this Edmonton Oilers team, where you can just take parts and pieces out of that lineup and slot them in and out depending on what another team has been bringing to you in that matchup, and have that answer and have that offensive flair in a Dylan Holloway that's ready to go into a new lineup that gives them a different look than what they saw the previous game. So I like seeing that versatility. It's exciting to see Dylan Holloway turn that offensive scoring touch that he's had in the AHL into NHL points.
Yeah. I wonder if they would play him at center. I wonder if they would play him as a fourth line center, because I think we're all talking about, does Janmark come out? Does Brown come out? Whoever it may be. And the argument is always going to be for those who's to say, and is the penalty killing. Holloway doesn't play on the penalty kill. He won't for the rest of the season, unless everyone gets kicked out of a game and he's the last man on the bench. Yeah, knock on wood. Maybe you play him at center. Maybe you experiment there. I don't know. It's a debate we're all going to have ourselves. We're not going to find out till night one of the playoffs, which we don't know when that is yet. It sounded like it might even be Monday. They might play on Monday.
But it boggles my mind that we're going to delay this for that long.
The Oilers want it like that because they play 3 and 4 tonight and they've played 5 and 7. So they want that extra day. Rumor has it. But either way, it's moving into the second period. The San Jose Sharks get on the board first from, here we go, Daniel Yushin, I think.
Yeah. Made up name.
A really weak goal to allow, to be honest. This is my cold performer from last night. Just like kind of a shit way to let him on the board, to be honest. Like they're an NHL team, kind of, at the end of the day. But like guys are going to score. But like, I don't like that this is the goal that went in on Skinner. In the grand scheme of things, it probably doesn't matter. But like, probably want to stop those ones.
Yeah, it just felt like I believe that was the Oilers were still kind of stretching up there on that play. And in those plays, it just felt like one of those, we're already up and totally. The old Oilers came to play for a second.
Yeah.
Just let the gas kind of slip in and the comedy of errors end up in a goal in it.
Yeah, I didn't like that one. That was his first of the season, second of his career. Warren Fogle, 19th goal of the season, came up next. Then I'll just kind of speed through these next couple here because they're basically all exactly the same. Oh, actually, sorry. These next three are all the same. Yes. So Warren Fogle is his 19th of the season. It came close to getting his hat trick, hit the post in the third period and had 9 shots on goal. But Corey Perry with his 12th, Cody Ceci with his 5th, Evan Bouchard with his 18th were basically mirror images.
They were the same goalie.
They're all the same.
I was said this was my first home game at Rogers this season. And of course I indulged in a couple adult beverages. There was a moment here and I was like, am I tripping or like, is this all the exact same thing in a row? There's Perry. Here's a little CeCe love.
This is a great goal by CeCe. Like just gets right up there. And I know he's the top. So yes, NHL Sid gets credit for this one, but Cody Ceci and Connor Brown have the same amount of 5-on-5 goals since Kucherov since the All-Star break, I believe. Isn't that crazy?
Wow. Like,
who's that a credit to? Kucherov, to those guys, or how bad Kucherov has apparently been? This hot trophy candidate.
It's, I mean, we've heard the phrase power play merchant before, but I think
that they count. They count.
They count all the same. I understand. But it's just a funny stab when you can make it work.
Yeah, like totally.
Numbers never lie. That is the old adage. And well, you know, I mean, Kucherov has kind of come out of nowhere with these 100 assists. He's sitting at 99 assists. He almost passed McDavid to get to 100 assists first. So incredible, incredible play by him. But yes, when you put that many assists up on the board, you're going to be able to find these funny kind of numbers.
Yes. And moving on to the Oilers' final goal. And our Douglas Mattress moment of the game. Douglas Mattress named Canada's best mattress. Use this, loved by over 200,000 Canadians, over 10,000 five-star reviews. Order today at douglasmattress.ca/OilersNation. Sorry, that's douglas.ca/OilersNation. Douglas Mattress moment of the game. Connor McDavid gets his 100th assist of the season on Zach Hyman's 54th of the season. Dan and I's feet just touched and becomes the 4th player in NHL history to hit that quota on a year. What? Dan and I's feet are now just on top of each other. What an incredible...
What are you guys doing now?
Just an incredible moment for McDavid. And like, we've been blessed to like have so many of these milestones through him. Like next one's 1,000 points, which is going to be just crazy to think he's going to be there before like 700 games. before 1,000 games, to be honest. So what do you make of it, Dan? Like, it was an easy goal to score, ninth of the game, but boy, oh boy, just an incredible season for McDavid, who has basically decided that he will not score 60 goals this season, but help other people score and get to 100. Just crazy how he has that ability.
It's kind of twisted. It's a little bit sick. It's as if Connor McDavid can just, at the start of the season, decide he's going to do something, and then he does it. Last year, he decided he was going to score 60 goals, and he did it. And none of us, I think, even really could grasp that he was going to do that at the start of the year, and he did it. And then this year, he's just decided he's not going to shoot pucks anymore. And like you said, he's going to help everybody else out. And I think next year, we can probably start planning for him to eclipse that 70 goal mark. No? Is that his next plan?
70 goals?
I would imagine.
How funny would that be?
He just decided he's going to do it, I bet, this offseason after after he's done the parade.
He's put
the Conn Smythe trophy up on the mantle and that kind of thing.
I have a question for the fans because
go ahead.
A, Liam, you said that this could be thought of as an easy goal. I just love that he toe drags a guy who completely swims right past him. Shout out to somebody in the chat who said, I was in the building for history, but I'm curious to ask the people, what's your favorite Connor McDavid assist that you can think of in your head? Throw them in the chat. I think I saw Tony Brar tweet this question, and it just got me thinking, and I was like, there's so many, so I want the chat to help me narrow it down. Thank you.
Top Connor McDavid assist.
And I think goals. Like, I think of all the slicing and dicing the defense, but he's known as such a playmaker, and yeah, let me know in the chat.
Do you have any that come to mind? I mean,
that's a tough, you put me on the spot here.
Yeah, I was thinking about this because I was thinking of putting Dan on the spot for this question.
No.
Oh, I know what mine is. Yeah. The one where he backhand spinoramas it, I think, to Ryan McLeod, is it?
Yeah, that was against the Devils. That's one that came to mind. I don't know any. The hat trick, Hyman hat trick goal against the Canes, BMAX 64 said, spin versus Chicago. A couple of people have said that. Spin pass around Duncan Keith.
There was two overtimes in a row where him and Draisaitl connected on 2-on-1s. And I think it was New Jersey and New York. And it was like back-to-back games. And he did the same pass across the crease to Draisaitl. It was unreal.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that one out.
That's a good question, though. Great question, AB.
That's Tony Brar, too.
What is this person's name? Marty Party. I thought it said Mart Porky. Marty Party, the spin around Keith and Seabrook. Yeah, I don't remember that one.
It's coming, though, to be fair. The best assist is coming this playoff run.
Yeah,
well, that's the right answer. There's going to be something special.
Like Tom Brady, what's your favorite ring? The next
exactly.
one.
Exactly.
Oh, boom. Yeah, his best assist are coming game 4 overtime versus the New York Islanders in the Stanley Cup final.
The Islanders.
I think the Islanders could get there. I know it's an absolutely long shot and it's probably not going to happen, but
it would be poetic for all the 80s.
That is true. Yeah. For them to lose. Yeah.
Another. Yep.
That is true. Before we get to our Duregod fence out of town league news stuff, do you have the picture of me last night from people?
I do.
Oh, the screen just went off.
I think I understand. Well, you guys can't see it?
No, I can't
see it. Well, there you go. You can take a look at that, people on the chat. And what'd you call yourself, a weeder? You're not a weeder?
He's not a weeder.
Take one look at that photo on the screen right now.
Oh.
That might say otherwise.
That could be anyone.
He OD'd on Werther's Originals. Don't worry.
That is just tired, Liam.
I was tired, dude. This was like 10:45 at night. I'm usually tucked in watching Bob's Burgers or Gilmore Girls at that time.
It's tough. And then Waz will clip you when you say something and you slip up. It's tough life.
We got a weeder.
Shout out you and Ty, though, for letting me go to the game last night because I had an absolute blast. I took my mother.
Good.
Fan appreciation. Got to hit up Grand Villa Casino. I kind of got like 41 games into one. I had to push it all into one last night. And I was in a little rough shape this morning, but we powered through.
All right, let's take a look at our league news brought to you by Duregod Fence. If you're looking for a trusted professional fence company in Alberta that can do it all, count on Duregod Fence LTD. What's LTD stand for?
Limited.
LTD.
I couldn't think of anything funny there.
Yeah, I think it's probably limited.
It is limited. For sure it is. I was trying to think of something funnier.
For 37 years, they have been offering, manufacturing, installing, and repair services, as well as a whole range of do-it-yourself solutions, DIY. The most highly trained and experienced fence installers operating the most modern fleet of equipment in Alberta. For more information, to request a quote, go to duragardfence.ca. Crazy night in the NHL last night. Obviously, we're basically coming down to the wire in the Eastern Conference. It could all end tonight, though. But last night, the Detroit Red Wings come through against Montreal, specifically Lucas Raymond with two huge goals to give them, the 5-4 overtime victory. Washington come back. Washington beat the Boston Bruins, and then Pittsburgh beats the Nashville Predators. However, I guess to stay in the Duragard around the NHL league news, the LA Kings lost last night too to the Minnesota Wild, which basically leaves the door wide open.
They're avoiding
the Vegas Golden Knights. Yeah. The Vegas Golden Knights to come in and take that third spot and face Edmonton in the first round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. Vegas has Chicago and Anaheim for their final two games of the season at home. So I got a sneaky suspicion they might be able to hang on here. The LA Kings do have Chicago on Thursday as well when the Vegas Golden Knights take on Anaheim. But it's not looking good for the Kings to hang on to that third final spot in the Pacific. And it's basically because the Anaheim Ducks beat them last Tuesday.
Yep. Shout out to the Eastern Conference for actually giving the NHL script makers something to pay attention to, though. St. Louis Blues fell off about a week and a half ago. They had the opportunity to eliminate the Vegas Golden Knights for the longest time, and they couldn't seem to beat the San Jose Sharks.
San Jose Sharks, yeah.
Let alone anybody. Seems pretty easy.
Do you fear Vegas?
No, I don't fear anybody in the West except for Dallas. Dallas is the one team that I'm worried about in a 7-game series. I think that what we saw with Vegas last year was almost like defaultism. Like the Oilers were just ready to lose to them. And I don't think that that's the case this year. I don't think that this team is, I think that this team is convinced that this is the time and it's their time.
I totally agree. I think one thing to look for too, Aaron, if you don't mind pointing out the Western Conference standings here. So the Oilers obviously have two games left, Arizona tomorrow and Colorado on Thursday to finish it up. The Oilers are not too far away from being the third team in the Western Conference. Now, I know this isn't something that we've looked at throughout the year, but hey, if Vancouver and Dallas get knocked out early and you're able to go into the Western Finals with home ice advantage, it's obviously a good advantage to have, you know? So I think I wonder if that's something they'll pay attention to. Ultimately, it doesn't matter that much. If you beat Colorado in the one game they have left, then you probably going to finish above them, but interesting layer of things that I don't think
we're. You are really right, because I've kind of thought of these last two games as literally no point.
Nothing. There's a little point there
when you say it like that.
Yeah, and I really don't think they will care that much about it. They've already rested McDavid for three games.
Well,
they're going to rest a bunch more guys these next two games. Like supposedly Philip Broberg's going to join them, which would probably lead you to believe that Akoma maybe miss a game. Nurse might miss a game. I would imagine Stetcher gets in against Arizona.
CC's been in and out lately, exactly. So maybe he needs an extra game.
Yeah.
I feel like this weekend was not a great thing for me, not a great harbinger for this team. Just feels like they're kind of already done and ready to go for the playoffs. You have two games and two golden opportunities to just get some points, put down those detractors that say you're a McDavid based team and that's it. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of were flat. I didn't feel like either of those games felt like they were winnable for the Edmonton Oilers at any real point during either of them. And so that's a little bit frustrating for me. So in saying all this, I think that you're probably right. Like, They should have something to play for here. Should have something left for to play at the end of the season, but it seems like maybe they don't.
Yeah, I don't think they will. Also around the NHL, Don Granato out as the Buffalo Sabres head coach. I mean, they should probably be better than what they are, but they're also the Buffalo Sabres. Tyler made a great tweet about this before. This could be a great landing spot for Jay Woodcroft.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Yeah.
It's a perfect landing spot for Jay Woodcroft.
It isn't, because the issue with Buffalo is not the head coach. And yes, maybe this year it was. Maybe we could say that they could have eked into that mess of an Eastern Conference and made some noise there. But do we really think that that franchise has taken those last 13 years and created something that a head coach could just come in and do something with? I just don't see it myself.
Whoever's going to come in, if they've got to give them the leash to like have a long leash, right? Like, I know it's been 13 years, but something else to consider too is that Atlantic division is not exactly easy. Like, those teams just aren't, like, Boston, Florida, Toronto, and Tampa Bay just aren't going away.
Nope.
Like, yes, you can sneak into that the final wild card spot. But guess who's already ahead of you in your division? The Detroit Red Wings, who also won't go away. Ottawa and Montreal are going to get better and better. Like, that is quickly going to be the best division in hockey. Well, it's not already.
And you say it right there. You laid out, there's three teams that are in rebuild mode that I would say are ahead of the Sabres now.
Yeah. They're all kind of those four teams, right? Have kind of been categorized together for a few years now, but we'll see. They've obviously got some great players in Buffalo, like Owen Power, Rasmus Dahlin is great. What's the goalie called?
Luka Pekka Luukkonen.
Yeah, he was
like Cousins, exactly. Zach Benson.
Bowen Byram. Matthew Savoy is coming through. Like, they
Samuelson, he's good.
So you got a lot of good players there. So moving on to the menu, Aaron. I'm throwing a curveball at you. We're going to bring the menu up early. I thought this was a good time to do it. So last night, Dan, when the others were playing, I used a double dash feature. Have you ever used that one on DoorDash?
I haven't yet, but I've heard of
it. You've heard the rumors?
Well, Rick is over on ONR is a huge proponent of the double dash.
It's the best. I used it last night, so I got what I wanted. My girlfriend got what she wanted. Gives you an amazing selection of local gems and staples you need in a hurry. You can try something or get your favorite comfort dish delivered right to your door.
Whatever you want it, they'll deliver it.
For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter the code NATION25. That's all in capitals. The menu tonight, obviously, we have Oilers Nation Radio coming up here shortly after, which means we have Dan's 3v3. Would you like to tell us what it is?
Yeah, I do. It's not anything exciting. It's just in honor of the Arizona Coyotes leaving, we are going to do the Oilers and Coyotes.
I like that one too.
Yeah.
It's Lori Kopikowski.
Yes. Well, hey, we gotta make sure it's only Coyotes, no Jets 1.0 allowed.
Okay, sounds good. In the menu tonight around the NHL, the Eastern Conference race could basically be over tonight.
Yes.
If things go that way.
Should be.
The Detroit Red Wings take on the Montreal Canadiens. The Philadelphia Flyers take on the Washington Capitals. And then the Leafs take on the Golden Knights. And another layer of things, which is quite good, I think, and would make a great first round over in the East, which is already looking like it should be pretty good. But if Florida win and Boston lose, that means we get Boston-Toronto, and then we get Florida-Tampa Bay.
Yep.
That would sign me up.
Fantastic. And then just staying in the East, you would have New York, the Rangers versus potentially Pittsburgh, potentially Washington. Like, good match. Detroit, an original six matchup. That's pretty good. And the worst matchup is going to be Carolina and the Islanders, which will still be pretty good, but it will definitely be four out of the four.
Well, and you think it's a major upset alert?
I think the Islanders can go to the finals.
That's a spicy take. I know Tyler gets quite angry when you say it on the air.
I don't know why. I do know why I have the feeling. I think their blue line is strong. I think they've got scoring throughout. They're just a difficult team to beat. And I think that's when you get into the playoffs, you need to be tough to play against. And I don't think Carolina is tough to play against. I think this whole thing of like man to man is just going to, through a 7-game series, that's going to be easier to expose. They're essentially the LA Kings of the Eastern Conference.
I hear everything you're saying,
but you don't believe.
But I think that where everybody's hatred, where everybody's hatred comes from of that is just Lou Lamoriello and the construction of his teams. I really do like. I go back to every offseason, and the Islanders routinely do little to nothing,
basically nothing
every year.
I'll sign awful deals,
or they'll sign an aging veteran to an extensive contract. And everybody questions it, but then every year they're in the mix. So I understand the logic behind it. I can't get behind you on that one
That's fine.
I get it with hot goaltending too. And yeah. Right, the Patrick Waugh story just has that, like, he's the guy that could lead them to that and the way they play. I just do think Carolina is way too good. A lot of people have said they think New York or Carolina are the only two coming out of the East. I think it's New York, in my opinion.
The Islanders.
Oh, the Rangers. The Rangers. Sorry, holy shit. That would have made no sense.
I don't know what it is about them. Like the forward group.
It's the orange and blue, isn't it? It's the orange and blue connection.
That team. I love watching the Islanders in the playoffs because I think their fans are great.
Yeah.
They're kind of assholes, but they're really passionate. And I like that about them. And you look at like some of these guys, like, I would not want to play in a series against like Andres Lee, Matt Martin, like Kyle Clutterbuck. I know those guys like aren't feared offensive guys by any means, but they're going to put you through a wall every single time they get the chance. And I think that is something that is just difficult to play against. And Carolina, they're just that team, aren't they? It's like, when are they going to get over the hump? Like, they're a fantastic group of players, but like, do we really believe in Freddie Anderson? Like, I know he's had a good season, but like, just feels like that guy again. He's not that guy. That guy, pal.
But for the Carolina New York Islanders matchup, it's going to come down to coaching. And I'm going to take Brendan Moore every time in that head to head matchup there. Yeah. And a guy, and like, to me, Brendan Moore is the antithesis of that roster construction. He's the guy that is just he's a guy that just gets it. And I feel like he could draw water from a stone when it comes to his fourth lines and his third line guys. So I love that juxtaposition of his coaching and his play style versus the advanced analytic darlings in Carolina.
The if they don't get out of the first round, I wonder what they do with Brendan Moore.
Oh, there's no way that they could. I don't think you could take. I don't think you could continue. It feels like they're at that tipping point now as a franchise where it's like, we've had a ton of promise for a long time.
Long time.
Like, you gotta make a move somewhere there if it falls apart against the Islanders after having the regular season that they did, going out and getting Gensel. There has to be something shooken up there.
Three straight seasons of 50 wins or more for the Carolina Hurricanes. Made it to the third round twice. So, I mean, like,
I love the idea of planning a guy's loss already.
Yeah, like, totally.
He's got his team in what? Second in the Eastern Conference.
Yep.
Clicking at all cylinders. And we're like, what happens if he loses in the first round?
He'll be fired for life.
It's a fun game to play.
It is.
Moving on.
With what other else people's do
we
lives. Have
for you?
We got a giant question.
Oh, yeah. Showed for a giant question. Aaron, do you have the giant question for us? Oh. Should tell you about Shore Power Sports and Marine now. Yeah. That's where we're going to put this one on. The grand opening is this Saturday for Shore Power Sports and Marine, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Enter to win grand prizes and giveaways, including a portable power inverter generator.
I struggle with that every time.
Yeah, they got to put it. Do you know, what do they call those things? pronunciations.
Yeah,
so you can do that. There's barbecue, refreshments to fuel you all day. You can go to Show of Power Sports and Marine on Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 across the street from Millennium Place. Aaron, what is the Sherwood Power Sports and Marine giant question?
So what we're talking about today, and right, it's been this alignment of the lines. I'll show you what last night was. Once again, keep in mind, there's no Evander Kane here. But Adam Henrique has looked very good on the top line here. And Ryan Nugent Hopkins, I think, is... As an Oiler fan, you remember when it was Rye, Dry, and Kai?
Mm-hmm.
And they absolutely tore up the league at the end of the season. I guess the question is, could you see Adam Henrique staying on the top line with Connor McDavid and putting Nuge with Draisaitl? It might be crazy to hear because the Nuge 97 Hyman line has been dominating all season long. Henrique has looked good. And like you mentioned, he has such a good hockey IQ. He seems like a guy who can play with Connor McDavid very easily and very smoothly. And one thing about Nuge has more speed and the defensive prowess, in my opinion. And I think that gives Draisaitl a longer leash to try and be more playmakery, more offensive, because you have your safety net in 93 on the line with you. But it's also on the opposite, crazy to think to change up that top line when there's two more games left in the season and we're about to enter the NHL playoffs. But I think Henrique looked so, and once again, it's the San Jose Sharks. You got to take it all with what you can, but he has looked good in spurts. I'm curious what the chat thinks about that. But Danlin, what do you think about that?
Well, I just love versatility, and I love being able to give the other team a completely different look on any given night. And yes, we're going to have those games where we're going to have Hyman, Nuge, and McDavid together. We're probably going to have those games where we have the nuclear deterrent together with Kane, Draisaitl, and McDavid up on the top line too. I like seeing the ability to just change it up, and I really enjoy seeing Henrique up there. He's calm, cool, and collected, yep. And he's got a nose for the net.
I think one thing I agree that Henry can bring to that top line is he's really good on faceoffs. If you put him in the dot instead of McDavid, you then have McDavid unleashed immediately if you win a draw.
And we've seen the Oilers do a ton of plays off of faceoffs in the O-zone where Connor, boom.
Yeah, you can just go. So that's one thing I would like that I like about having Henry Cabrera is his ability to win draws. Get the puck to McDavid quickly because it's a lot different than if you do that with Draisaitl, right? Like Draisaitl isn't as explosive, you could say, and like obviously an elite hockey player, but McDavid's going to be able to bring that element. So I think that's what I would like about Henrique being on that first line with McDavid. Let's see what the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat is saying. McDiesel. Thank you, Ken Holland. You're welcome from Ken. What else are we here? BMAX 64, keep both lines the same. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. What else have we got going on?
I just made a poll so people vote.
Oh, let me know what it says. I can't see the poll in StreamYard.
I got you.
I don't even know what this guy's name. I'm your Huckleberry. Do we need Kane?
Yes.
I think it's fair to say yes.
I don't, it's not anything against Evander Kane. I just think we need more 1-year contracts. Is that
okay? Not to go like
I know. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Not to go completely tangent there, but
I would agree. I don't think everyone needs to be locked in on certain things, but we do need Kane.
So that's where I was going to say is that yes. So yes, we need more Warren Fogles on 1-year contracts, so that then you're not having these huge question marks with guys that are attached to this team. Evander Kane, love him or hate him, is an Edmonton Oiler. And he's a part of this franchise. He's got a no movement clause, all those things. So you've got a guy that, yes, we do need, and we need more out of Evander Kane than what we've gotten so far, you know, this regular season as a whole. You need more out of him, but yes, you need him, and you need him clicking on all cylinders.
I totally agree. It went off on my screen. I think it was Sean said in the YouTube chat, do you put Kane on the fourth line? I don't think you can. I just don't think he's going to respond well.
Yes.
Which is the negative of him, of course, but like it's also a coach's job to manage his team the best way possible and keeping Evander Kane happy is part of that. So you can't put him in a position that's going to piss him off because he's not a team guy from what we know. From what we've seen, he's not that guy you can just slot anywhere and be like, he'll give me a game tonight. He needs to be in positions to succeed. Is that fair? probably not for Knobloch, but he needs to manage him correctly.
Yeah, it's frustrating to have that kind of a player on your team, but it is what it is. It's the situation he's in. So I hear what you're saying, but I do really think that it's fine to have Evander Kane on the fourth line in a situation where it makes sense for this team. I don't think you want to be Knobloch and putting them there every single game, night in and night out. But Evander and everybody on this team has to just figure it out that we are playing for the Stanley Cup. And if you're not playing 100%, that's okay, because there's another guy that will play 100% ahead of you, and that's fine too. And so, yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. You gotta tend that ego, but we also have the Corey Perrys now in the locker room to tamp some of that stuff down and maybe help with a little bit of that nonsense and that fluff that goes on in the locker room that we don't get to see any of that.
I don't disagree.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm okay.
I don't know. He's such a mystery, isn't he? Because it's like you put him on the fourth line, but then you're also eliminating a guy that can score for you any moment because you're playing him for 10 minutes.
But if he comes out and he plays 10 effective fourth line minutes and is banging the body and is causing and stirring up that crap that then is the inspiring those top level guys to go out and do that, then the next game, Knobloch has no problem putting him up in that top six again.
Yeah. That is
true. Don't know if that will ever happen.
I don't think.
I hear what you guys are.
I can dream.
You guys are the voice of reason in this situation. I'm being the dreamer for sure.
It's just for me, Kane, he's too much of a proven scorer. Those guys don't grow off trees. He had 9 years of 20 goals. We know what he's capable of doing if he gets rolling. He has to start in my top nine for sure. If he's dog shit, then sure, you move him down. If he's not performing, maybe like last season, he's got to start. He's got to start in the top nine with some skill.
Got it.
Agreed.
The poll would surprise you, Liam.
What's the poll saying?
So I asked Nuge on the top line or the second line. 78% of the vote says second line with Draisaitl.
Interesting.
Is that recency bias?
Totally.
Possibly.
Yes.
It has looked good. And I said the Rye, Dry, and Kai thing is what I've seen Nuge and Draisaitl before play incredibly well. Can Warren Fogel, I call him a honey badger all the time. That's what I thought of Kyle Yamamoto. In theory, that could work. But once again, you're breaking up a line that's dominated for 70 plus games this season.
The Wendy's Daily Face-Off Survivor Pool is continuing. We're on day two. Dan, how many people are left? 149 people remaining over on the Daily Face-Off Survivor Pool. Here are the options. Tell me which one you're thinking.
Okay.
So you can pick either one of these. Toronto or Florida to win.
Okay.
Then you have Detroit over 3.5 goals. Winnipeg, 32.5 shots. Brady Tkachuk assist. Joel Farabee point. Don't know if you want to do that one. Eichel shots over 3.5. Seth Jarvis goal. Bjorkstrand point. Calgary Flames power play goal.
Poof. Tough choices. The Wendy's game, they do not make it easy.
No, that is for sure.
The pro tip is to go after that matchup that they list there.
Thanks.
But if I'm going outside the matchup, did you say Eichel was 3.5 shots over?
Over 3.5 shots. Oof, yes.
That's tough. What was the one before Farabee? I apologize.
No, that's okay. I read a lot of them too. Yeah. Brady Tkachuk assist.
That's where I was kind of leaning. The Senators had a frustrating night last night. I think they got shut out. Yeah, they got held off the board against the Rangers. So, yeah, let's say Brady with an assist.
Brady has 3 assists in his last 5 games. Yes, where they were shut out yesterday. I like the Brady one as well. The Eichel one, bit aggressive.
It's tough.
You don't need to be aggressive in this game. You know, you just got to get to the end. It doesn't matter if you win or 100 people win.
100%.
You just got to win.
That's where that pro tip comes in. Look at that top matchup.
The only thing sweeter than a taste of victory after winning a daily face-off survivor pool is starting your day with a Cinnabon pull apart from Wendy's. But there's no reason you can't have both now that Wendy's and the daily face-off fantasy are giving you a chance to win weekly prizes all year long. Sign up for the daily face-off survivor pool today, sponsored by Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Let's move along to Betway. Aaron, how did you do last night with Betway?
Not great.
I know, and which was frustrating.
I should have went -3.5. I don't know why I didn't. I felt like an idiot because they had 4-goal lead felt pretty quickly in that one. And no, and I wasn't Bordsy's bankrolling last night. So right. Shout out to Tyler. I saw he picked 3.5 spread. I don't know what actually got picked on the show.
I don't know either. I went with McDavid points, which hit, but I went with McDavid 2 assists. Mm. And the fact he only got his assist on a 9th goal was just awful.
Wasn't it weird to look down at the score sheet and be like, at that point, and be like, he doesn't have 2 apples.
I couldn't believe it.
Like, what?
I could not believe it. Could not believe it. But with Betway right now, you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Create a new account, scan the QR code on the screen, and redeem your bonus. Place a bet, no minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you will get refunded up to $200. You can use that money to bet on your favorite sports. Hey, maybe you want to bet on the Oilers against the Yotes tomorrow night in their final game in Arizona, which I want to ask you about too, Dan, before we go. But the offer is only valid outside of Ontario. So yes, tomorrow the Edmonton Oilers will face the Arizona Coyotes for their final game, which looks like it's going to be in Arizona.
For the next 5 years, at least.
For the next 5 years. So here's a little wrinkle that I read last night. So what's their only called again? Marinello or something like that?
Marulo.
Alex Marulo. He is going to keep the Tucson Roadrunners, the American Hockey League team. And he is going to try and move that team from Tucson to the Mullet Arena for next year. You know,
brilliant.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. It's kind of irrelevant, isn't it? Yes. But it's just, what are we doing? I get it. Like, these fans in Arizona and the Phoenix area that love the Yotes. Like, we make fun of them, of course, but like, you look at the arena locations, it's not been good for them for a while. At least they have something, but maybe don't do it immediately.
Yeah.
Like, maybe give it like a year of like people to be like, damn, I really miss going watching like pro hockey. But instead of just being like, well, you lost the Yotes, but don't worry, we've got the Roadrunners. Not the Edmonton Roadrunners with Jeff Oiwitka, but the Tucson Roadrunner. I don't even know who they have. But it's just, should they let it die for a year?
Let the entire Arizona franchise die, or the Mullet Arena nonsense?
The Mullet Arena and professional hockey.
I mean, yes, but they don't
have backs on their seats.
True.
What are we doing?
Uncomfortable.
It's a strange kind of thing that we are still seeing the NHL's absolute adoration and focus on this Arizona market. You know, I saw Frank Saravalli talking about it and how they're trying to bake in some kind of a clause to make it so that they can revisit having Marulo as an owner within the 5 years, which is just crazy to me. If we go back to, like, I'm old enough, of a vintage enough that I remember the Winnipeg debacle when they stole the Jets and sent them to Arizona. Imagine if they'd offered the Winnipeg fans something similar back then. I think we would have had a lot less outrage, a lot less frustration.
Totally.
So I understand, I feel for Arizona Coyotes fans, because there are some fans that are just diehards and have been there since the start. You can't help but feel that way. But yes, as a fan of one of the other 30 teams that is able to keep things a-going and keep paying the bills for the hotels and keep the paychecks coming for the head coaches and all that good stuff, it's got to stop. It has to end. The league can't have this kind of red sore spot just showing up all the time for it. When we're getting into these debates and we're having these conversations about bringing in more franchises, and yet we're still talking about, and it sounds like one of our extra franchises is now going to be an Arizona franchise. So it's a confusing situation. It's frustrating. I just hope, as a hockey fan, that we don't have to keep doing this. I don't have to keep apologizing to Arizona fans for, you know, the debacle that they've been put through. I don't have to keep being frustrated for the Winnipeg Jets and the Quebec City Nordiques. You know, like, why are we not talking Quebec City right now? No, we're going to Utah.
I do want you to keep making memes, though, Dan.
Oh, I can't stop.
You're pretty good at this.
Can't stop. We got it. It is a pretty funny situation to be able to laugh at.
What was Quebec like?
As a fan?
When did they leave the NHL?
1995.
Yeah, so I was not around for that. What was, like, why did they leave? And, like, was it because of the fans and all that? Was it, like, ownership? What was the deal?
I think that at the core of any Canadian team leaving its city, it's the corporate sponsorship that they just can't seem to pull in that the American teams can Arizona pull in more corporate sponsorship than Quebec City? Probably. But like, I don't know. It's one of those things as a fan. And again, I was a young fan back then, so I didn't understand the business side of things. It's hard for us to grasp, you know, a Canadian city wants a hockey team, but an NHL team needs to make millions and millions and millions of dollars. And They've got to pay $1 billion or $10 billion. What is it now? What's the expansion fee right now?
$1 billion.
Yeah. $1 billion expansion fee.
1.3.
So you've got to have that kind of money to be able to backfill that money that you've spent to be able to pay the owners, to be able to have the right to come into the league. So it's one of those things that I don't think the fans' support was ever gone. It's just that there was no corporate backing. There was just no more money and dollars and cents for the league to be able to pull in there.
Money talks.
It really does.
My final thing, just with Betway, Liam, the Oilers currently on Betway are the favorites to win the Stanley Cup. They are currently at plus 650.
Wow.
And I always say during the playoffs, if you don't want to bet on every game because there's enough stress as in every game, just throw a future down on the Edmonton Oilers at plus 650 responsibly and 19 plus. And then you get to enjoy possibly 2 months with that juice of plus 650. Sometimes myself betting every game, because I just said, you're so emotionally invested as is. I don't really need money on the line, but it's nice to have a future. I think I still have them at plus 1,000 from the preseason. Let's go.
Other breaking news today outside of the hockey world.
Oh, yes, of course. Oh, really buried the lead here.
Yeah, I can't believe
it. Saved it until the last 3 minutes.
Yeah. Team Botcher is no more. It has been a crazy development going on in the curling world.
Yeah, I was just
going
to make sure you got the topic out there for people that understand now.
Mark Kennedy, Brett Gallant, and Ben Hebert are moving on from their skip, Brendan Botcher. Now, I am a new curling fan, but from my understanding of when moves happen in curling, typically it'll be like the skip will move on or the whole team will kind of break up. Like, very rarely, if ever, do you see the three other guys leave the skip. And now Botcher is on his own. Don't know what's going to happen. Crazy stuff happening. Glenn Howard just retired. Even though he didn't play last year.
I
can't believe it. I truly cannot believe what happened this morning.
So you're a current curling fan. I am a former curling fan. Glenn Howard was still competing and winning championships back when I was a huge curling fan.
First player to play in 5 Briars over 5 decades.
For different countries or different provinces too?
Just playing 5 different Briars over 5 for all Ontario, I believe.
Glenn Howard, right? Yeah, sorry. Russ is the one that was a free agent that went to any province that would take him. But yes, I think the landscape of Canadian curling in the 2010s kind of changed quite a bit. Had a lot more free agents moving around. But as you said, Liam, it was one player moving to another team or the front end of I believe it was Hebert and Kennedy moved to Johnny Morris's team. And that was a big shakeup where two guys went together.
Cooey came in and it kind of also positions and everything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. Like, I don't know who's going to be the lead and the skip for this team. People are saying, why are we talking about curling? Everyone, this is big.
The country has been shooketh.
The Olympics to the core. This was a number 2 team in the world.
And drama. also there's Botch a local
from,
angle.
Botch is from Chopin.
There's a local angle here, folks.
Kennedy helps teach curling in St. Albert.
Yes.
Tyler and I would have had the same debate. Don't let this seem like me and Dan brought this one up. I texted Tyler about this and he responded and I'll tell you what he said because I need Dan to see it again. So I sent him the tweet and I said, big shakeup. And he goes, you have full permission to discuss this on the show.
Amazing.
Did he not?
He did say in all caps, by the way.
I am not a curling guy, but just how fired up and into this Liam was this morning. Crazy. And then the Sherwood Park angle should have led with that.
Yeah.
I'm into this. I care now. If you care, I care.
Thank you. And you should all care too. But there you go. I'll leave everyone with that to ponder until tomorrow when Tyler is back on the show.
This one made me laugh from OJ.
What did he say?
I'd rather listen to Tyler tell us why every team in the Western Conference is better than the Oilers than curling talk. No, you wouldn't.
No, you wouldn't.
More curling talk. Let's go.
More curling tomorrow because this story isn't over, folks. We'll get it right here tomorrow. On Oilers Nation Every Day. Thank you very much for watching. Farewell.
Bye-bye.
Hurry hard.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.